Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming on the web for the world at www.kpfk.org. My name is Tammy Bang Lu, and I'll be your host today. So on March 22nd, the Metropolitan Transit Authority announced their proposal for a fare hike. It's clear across the board, but just to give you a sense of what the proposed hikes look like, regular monthly passes would increase from $52 to $75 by July, and then to $120 on January 2009. High school students, so the student pass, the K-12 pass, will go from $20 to $45 in July, and then to $72 in January 2009. And the senior pass, which is currently $12, will move up to $37.50 by July, and then $60 by January 2009 if the hikes are actually passed. So today we're going to discuss the fare hike and then the effects that will have on predominantly Black, Latino, and Asian working class bus riders, the impacts that will have on the environment, and most importantly, how you can get involved to stop these racist hikes. So we're going to open up the show with Barbara Lott Holland, chair of the Bus Riders Union Planning Committee, and then we'll be speaking with Ryan Schneider, president of urban planning firm Ryan Schneider & Associates, on the issue of bus and rail. And then we'll close the show with Francisca Porches, organizer with the Strategy Center and lead organizer of the Clean Air, Clean Lungs, Clean Buses campaign, to discuss what we can do. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Barbara Lott Holland. So welcome back to Voices from the Front Lines. I'd like to welcome Barbara Lott Holland. She's the chair of the Bus Riders Union Planning Committee, an active member for the last 10 years. She's also on the leadership body of the Strategy Center's Community Rights Campaign, which is looking at the criminalization of Black and urban life. And she's represented the Strategy Center and the BRU in many local, national, international conferences. Welcome, Barbara.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. It's a Monday morning. Afternoon.
Please tell me it's the afternoon.
Yeah, the end of the day. Well, you know, we could go a lot of different places, Barbara, but I want to start off with, I think a lot of the listeners are probably sitting in their cars right now and wondering, fare hike, that's really bad on bus riders. But do they have a sense of how bus riders actually negotiate their lives on public transportation? So before we even would talk about the fare increases and what it means to you, give folks a sense of what's your day like? How do you wake up? And how does public transportation play into effect? And how long does it take you to get to your job? And what else do you use public transportation for?
Well, I am transit dependent, which means that is my primary mode of moving around the city of Los Angeles. And I have been riding the buses for 30 years in Los Angeles, not steadily. There was a period of time that I did have a car, and due to layoff and the economics, I had to give up my car and go back to the bus. It takes a lot of scheduling to ride the bus. And one of the things that's different between having your own car and the bus, you can't wait till the very last minute to leave home if you're planning to be somewhere on time. And you have to plan well in advance. And more than likely, you have to have at least two different ways of getting where you're going if you're traveling on the bus. Hop, skip it, and jump for most people when they're saying it takes them 15 minutes to get somewhere. It will take you probably about 45 minutes on the bus if you have a direct route. And that means you only have to take one bus. For me, I work near the airport, and I live on the Crenshaw and Slauson corridor, and it takes me about an hour to get to work in the mornings. The alarm goes off at 5. Well, really, the alarm goes off at 4:45, but I get up at 5, and I'm hitting the pavement at a 5:45 in the mornings in order to be at the bus stop so that I can make my connections and then get to work on time. So that's pretty much how my day starts. And really, for me, that's exciting because before this job, I worked in the city of Torrance, and my commute was 2.5 hours one way.
So we're looking at 5 hours.
5 hours of my day on the bus. And people probably say, that's ridiculous. And what did you mean 5 hours? Because a lot of people have asked me that. And that's because if you want to get to work on time and you want to make sure you're not late, you're going to get up so that you will have more than one option of a bus. For any reason you miss the first bus, you want to have enough time that you can catch that second bus and still be on time. Or you can catch the first bus, and in my case, I had to transfer to two other buses. You may miss your second or your third connection, and that's why you got to get up at that time, because you don't want to be late. You can be late every once in a while, but to be perpetually late, you're going to lose your job,
mm-hmm.
and you can't continue to stay the bus, your employee is going to say, then catch another bus, do another route, do something else, but that's not my problem, that's your problem. You want the job, you be here on time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and you know, that is really across the board with bus riders that are transit dependent, and that's just an individual. It's even harder for other bus riders, like parents that first have to drop their kids off at school or even at the daycare, and then they have to get back on the bus. And I know that feeling because as a young mother, I had to do that. And so that meant your day as well as your kids' day was even earlier, because you have to get up, do the whole routine, get out, get on the bus, get off the bus, take them where they needed to go, and then get back on the bus to go to work, to still be to work on time.
Yeah, and you still know that because you got your grandkids.
I have my
grandkids.
Well, thank goodness I don't have to take them to school, but in order for us to have a quality time when they visit with me, we're on the bus. So, as far as the fare increase, it's really hard.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm paying for my fare, which all other people are doing too, plus the kids. And it's really hard. It's hard for me right now. It's $52 a month, and you're talking about going up?
$75 in July and $120 by 2009.
$120 a month for a bus pass is just outrageous. It's terrible, and it gives me the sense, and a lot of other bus riders, that, you know, the MTA has created it's like a virus to kill the transit dependent poor. For a family of four at $120 each, that's like $480.
Mm-hmm.
It forces the poor to buy a used car, which then, of course, increases pollution, and it just perpetuates the global warming environment that we have. And it's horrible. And not to mention, even after they buy the car, they still have to pay for gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's terrible. People are stammering with, wow, the outrageousness of it and the hopelessness of it that some people feel. Thank goodness we have the bus riders union that's fighting back. We definitely plan to fight back on this.
So, you know, for those who are listening, what do you tell someone who, you know, they're trying to juggle raising kids, having a job, and they're just saying, look, I don't have much time in my day. I just want to live a happy life. Like, it wasn't that long ago, or 10 years ago, 12 years ago, that was yourself. What changed it for you? What made you change from someone who sat and said, okay, look, I don't like that this is happening to me, but I'm just going to continue to go to work, you know, go get some clothes, go to the club, you know, enjoy my life. What changed it for you that now you're chair of the bus riders union?
That's a long story, but in a nutshell, it was the desperation, because at that time I was going through a transitional period where I had lost the job that I perceived that I was planning to retire on it. And it was a pretty good paying job, a decent paying job. As like I said, it had enough benefits that I thought that I would be there until my retirement. But economics again took a play. They moved down south where land was cheaper and said, adios. So I found myself again over 40, well over 40, without a job, and the prospects at that age is very hard. So during that transitional period, I had to make decisions as how I was going to survive until I got another job. And, of course, the first thing to go was my car, because that was a lot of money between gasoline, insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So I was on the bus. I had been on a temporary job, and I had just learned that I was going to be asked to come back. So I'm just elated about that, you know, just excited, because I had asked my manager, you know, I needed to know if I'm going to work next week so I can decide whether or not to buy a bus pass. And sure enough, I was. I was excited about that, got on the bus, and avoiding, there were organizers on the bus from the Bus Riders Union. I didn't want to be bothered, really, I didn't. Like you said, I wanted to go home, celebrate the fact that I did have work for the next week, you know, and move on with my life. And then I just heard them as they were talking to other people, talking about the bus is getting ready to go on strike. I'm going, wait a minute. What do you mean? This is bothering me. The buses is on strike? I just got a job. I can possibly go on strike. I need to work. And that, in a nutshell, was my involvement. And even then, it was selfish because I was more concerned about my bus route, because I did hear them say there could possibly be a few buses running. And, of course, that me, I just wanted to make sure if it was my bus. And that's really basically how I got involved in the Bus Riders Union. And, of course, after going to the meeting, seeing the fellowshipping of the members, seeing that this was actually an organization that had the power, that had already demonstrated that, learned they had signed a 10-year consent decree with the MTA, and I'm thinking these are ordinary people, and particularly bus riders, which in the status quo, we have this stigma about this city, the car capital of the world. If you ride the bus, oh, my God, poor thing, you ride the bus. So to see this group of people actually having power, having a movement that was actually improving the bus system, that actually had the clout to do it, then it I wanted to get involved. I didn't go there planning to do that, but I saw that they needed me, and I needed them. And we made a good companionship. It's been that way for the past 10 years.
I hear the stories of you coming, you know, talking about the folks you've been talking to on your ride to and from work and organizing. And you're trying to talk to working class Black Latino. There's 500,000 bus riders in Los Angeles. They're 92% Black Latino and Asian. They're 60% women, and they bring home a family income of $12,000 a year. You're often the one pushing them to talk about consuming less and actually being concerned about global warming. What about them saying, well, why me? Why should I be concerned? I'm just trying to make it day by day.
That, you know, that is one of the major struggles. Again, it's the culture, unfortunately, the culture that surrounds us, what media, what mainstream tell people is the quality of their life instead of them feeling it for themselves. Everyone is looking for that great American dream. Everyone wants to be on the top. Everyone feels that they've been stepped on so much that, you know, they need to fight back. But they, unfortunately, a lot of times fight back in the wrong way. Instead of fighting against each other, we need to band together, and we have a greater force. Let's face it, there are more poor people than there are wealthy. And we need to band together, push together in order to make equality changes that affect everyone. And it is a hard struggle because, again, they are struggling on a daily basis trying to negotiate their lives with a little. And it's just hard between the burdens that's pounding down on them for them to actually see a light at the end of the tunnel or to see that their voice can make a difference. And I like to share as many times as possible my story, that I felt that same way because I raised my children that way. And then I realized as I seen the world, the consumption of the world and the things that we're doing, that we definitely need to band together, that we definitely need to fight for more social structures, for more than what we have, and that we deserve it. And that's the main thing that I think the people need to understand is that we do deserve more, that we are human beings and we do deserve more. We definitely deserve to have a first-class bus system that's not bleeding us. And that's what's happening right now. It's bleeding us. at the rate the MTA is going, only the rich will be able to take public transportation. And what is public transportation if the public can't afford it? Explain that to me.
So, Barbara, in the last 2 minutes then, if what would you say that bus riders or even folks that are riding the bus can do to stop this fare hike?
What they can do is I call on everyone to call on your public officials, Bernard Parks, Yvonne Bradway-Burke, Gloria Molina, Donald Fleming, Richard Katz, and the mayor, of course, and say no to the fare hike. Come to the MTA board meetings. That's Thursday of each month. And the main thing is not a cent more do we want to pay for public transportation. As a matter of fact, we live in one of the greatest countries in the world and one of the biggest and the richest cities. Public transportation should be free. I'm talking about adding more, it should be free. No to the fare increase. No, not a penny more.
Well,
everyone, listeners out there, please call your officials. No to the fare hike. Come to the MTA board meeting. Stand with the Bus Riders Union and say no to this fare increase.
Well, again, if you want to call Mayor Villaraigosa, you can do that at 213-978-0600. And Barbara, what should we tell Villaraigosa?
No to the fare increase, not a penny more.
And if you want to call Gloria Molina, it's 213-974-4111. And what should we tell to County Member Gloria Molina?
Is vote no on the fare increase, not a penny more.
Thank you so much, Barbara. Anything to close off with?
I just hope all of the listeners are out there, and even people driving in cars, you too can help support the people that must ride the bus, because as life, there's no definite in life. You too may end up standing on the corner waiting for a bus. It is no to the fare increase, not a penny more.
Thank you so much. Barbara LaHolland, co-chair of the Bus Riders Union Planning Committee. We'll be right back with Ryan Schneider.